On Extra FM, you're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis. This project is a collaboration between Extra FM, KB Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Today, we have an interview with Street Roots investigative reporter Henry Brannon, here to talk to me about his latest article, Every Camera is a Target. Portland anarchists hold destruction competition as surveillance infrastructure explodes in popularity and real life. Hi, Henry. Thanks so much for being here with me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this article addresses the trend of surveillance camera destruction in Portland, and also kind of the root reasons behind that these cameras and others are increasingly being used as like mass surveillance technology. So will you give me a little overview of this article before we jump into the details?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it started kind of in two different ways, and then they kind of braided together. So the first is obviously like, you know, you can't go to the grocery store without you've got this like giant surveillance camera tower looming over you that's like, you are being watched for your safety. And you know, they're everywhere. You know, you got Ring cameras everywhere, you've got people recording you with smart glasses, you know, we're all recording ourselves. So the whole like panopticon, you know, camera, what some people would call a dystopia thing, there's that. And that's like pretty impossible to miss. And then on the other hand, I came across the zine called Cam Over Portland 2026 Summer Games. This is hosted on rosecitycounterinfo.noblogs.org. And basically what it is it's basically just like running down a non-competitive competition, kind of like a teamwork oriented competition of who can smash the most surveillance infrastructure. To be clear, Street Roots does not support, you know, criminal activity. That's, you know, vandalization is considered criminal mischief. You can face jail time. So this is not to be construed as destroying it, but it's got like, you know, like a bingo sheet within it and like these instructions on how to do that. And it talks about all these different types of technologies, whether it's, you know, Ring cameras or those camera towers or license plate readers, all sorts of things, Teslas, all sorts of things like that. And then it gives, you know, instructions, to how to do that. And then people were like reporting back their kind of accomplishments. And so the story starts off looking at that, and it talks about, you know, these two different groups that are kind of learning from each other and inspiring each other and breaking each other's record, but all kind of playing for the same team. And then it really looks at, you know, behind that, what's the rise of technology behind that? And why are people taking, you know, solutions to this into their own hands? So that's kind of the overview of the story.
Also, you specifically name anarchists in this process and where the zine came from and whatnot. So your reporting sort of, I gather, found that this surveillance camera destruction is a bit of a political act. Why is that? What are these cameras being used for?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I should say, you know, this is like, there's a recent article in Wired that talked about how data centers are breaking the political divides. And really, like, a poll in May found 70% of Americans would not want a data center near them, which, like, I'm struggling to think of a more or a less polarizing issue. So I think broadly speaking, there's actually kind of remarkable consensus across political stripes where people are really frustrated with, you know, flock cameras, with data centers, and basically with all this, the kind of the physical infrastructure that makes digital surveillance possible. Because of course the cloud doesn't exist. It's just the data center. And people have realized that, like, wait, if I don't like this, I can just attack it. And so you actually see like conservatives increasingly cutting them down. Like, I think it was Tennessee where a state representative, a candidate for state representative, was arrested for, like, I think he was shooting at flock cameras or something. So this is, you know, I single out anarchists in this story, because you know they're the ones making the very what some people would find entertaining zine, but it's really all stripes of America. And so I talked to some surveillance researchers, some experts, some civil liberties experts at places like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and PDX Privacy. And what folks basically said is that like this infrastructure is really eroding people's freedoms. You know, for starters, there's obviously the stifling impact, which like it, you know, there's studies that have found that we link to in the story. The talk about how, you know, surveillance limits First Amendment protected activity like speech and protest. But there's also research that shows that surveillance actually like pushes people's views in alignment with the mainstream one. Like people tend to comply proactively. And so there's all these, then people feel they're kind of cast under a continuous kind of specter of suspicion. And then there's how these technologies are actually being used. You know, one of the attorneys I talked to with the Electronic Frontier Foundation told me how they'd found cases of, you know, license plate readers being used to make sure kids were in the right school district. There's another case of somebody who got an abortion in a state where it was legal, allegedly. Allegedly got an abortion in a state where it was legal, and Texas police used a network of like 83,000 cameras to surveil them. You know, facial recognition cameras have basically ended privacy, and you know, this stuff is, you know, it's public, it's private, it's government, it's exploding. And so I think really it's just everything is happening really fast. And folks told me that people generally feel there's no levers to change this stuff. And so that's really the type of scenario where people are kind of creating the levers.
So this sort of brings us to the surveillance state that we are slowly being boiled in. Like one of the people that you interviewed, the Portland-based surveillance researcher and investigative reporter Kate Kay said. So Portland passed a surveillance resolution in 2023 to sort of try and get ahead of this. What was that resolution?
You know, basically coming out of the George Floyd uprising, you know, there's a 2020 report where the Portland City Auditor's Office found that police had basically surveilled protesters who had done nothing wrong extensively. Like basically surveilling people not for crimes, but for First Amendment protected activity. And then kind of that ended up pushing over the line, the city banning facial recognition. It's actually to date still one of the most kind of ambitious facial recognition bans in the country. And so the city pushes that over the line. I should say also Amazon lobbied quite extensively to try and fight that, which Kate Kay actually revealed in some great reporting, and Salon followed that. Nevertheless, so you see that, and then in 2023, the city ends up passing a surveillance resolution, and it basically directs itself to create an inventory of all the surveillance stuff the city's using. Now, that report came out last fall, and it found the city's using about 26 technologies. The report's written, you know, I think folks I talked to said it was written in good faith, but I will say it leaves more questions than answers. For instance, like it groups the technologies. So, for instance, it tells us that PPB has, quote, biometric slash genetic, end quote, monitoring tools such as, quote, gait, DNA, fingerprint, face ID, end quote. Gait, I should say, is just a word. It describes people's walk. And so there's all sorts of surveillance technologies that can identify you from your unique walk. However, it's not clear which of those technologies PPB has. You know, that's I didn't see that anywhere in the report. Also, folks at PDX Privacy point out it doesn't include what private citizens have, what businesses have, or what the feds use in Portland, which, you know, reporting has shown is pretty dramatic. You know, the Department of Homeland Security has flown surveillance drones over us, documents have shown. So there's some pretty big holes in it, but that's kind of what the surveillance inventory is. I should also say there was supposed to be kind of a more full part of it out early this year. The city told me they do not know when that's going to happen. And I think part of that is just there's some reshuffling happening in Smart City, the kind of agency where it's being done. And I think it's also really basically a small team responsible for doing that. But that's kind of the deal with the city's surveillance resolution.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you also talk about the use of automated license plate readers, or ALPRs. ICE is banned from using information from them in Oregon. But you also write that there are some suspicions around, like, them actually having access to this data anyways. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for starters, people have pattern recognition. And, like, you know, it's you pay attention to the news cycle long enough, it's you see pretty much endless cycles of like, whatever law enforcement agency saying, like, no, this technology is being used this way. And then they're caught red-handed using it the way that they said they weren't. And they're like, well, that was an outlier. And then reporting shows it's a pattern. And they say, like, well, it was a pattern, but we had to. And then their kind of justification falls flat because it turns out they were surveilling, you know, First Amendment advocates or whatever. And so I think people, again, there's that pattern recognition where people are like, every single technology is used more than we know until people are caught. And then I think there was some great reporting from Investigate West that talked to folks in the Portland immigrant community who had kind of some anecdotal experiences that made them feel that flock cameras and other automated license plate readers were being used by Immigrations and Customs Enforcement to surveil them. It's also worth pointing out, AP last year had some pretty remarkable reporting about how ICE's sister agency, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, is operating a nationwide program of hidden automated license plate readers. And when I say hidden, I mean like concealed within a fake traffic cone level hidden. And that was surveilling millions of people all around the country, and obviously still is. So I think people are really kind of waking up to the extent of these technologies, especially, I should add, like, these have been bipartisan things. You know, there's, you know, Republicans, Democrats have been super, super aligned on this stuff, generally speaking. But I think now that the Trump administration is really changing the goalposts, that is waking people up to, like, oh, you know, when these technologies come in, we're told it's to prevent murder. I don't like murder. But then wait a minute, these technologies are actually like the physical infrastructure that allows the criminalization of abortion. Wait a minute. And also it allows, you know, my neighbor who's lived here 35 years, but happened to be born in Mexico, to be, you know, deported despite everything, you know. And so I think people are now being like, wait a minute, this is the infrastructure of authoritarianism, is what folks have told me, is the reason that folks are really kind of waking up to where we are. And of course, I should also add, you know, as an attorney at EFF pointed out to me, AI really supercharges this. You know, those camera towers, they use AI. But beyond that, it enables these companies to both gather much more information and, crucially, to sort through it. Because, you know, you can't, you know, if you have dozens and dozens of license plate readers around the Portland area, and, you know, thousands upon thousands around the country, tens of thousands upon tens of thousands, there's no way that could be manually sorted through. But, you know, so-called AI, large language models, that really, it just changes the game for a lot of these companies.
Something that comes to mind, you already mentioned Ring door cameras earlier. And there was like a Super Bowl ad for Ring doorbells that I think it was this last year that was featured. And it basically was saying, oh, with this technology, if you lose your dog, we can search all of the cameras in the entire community for your dog and find it in no time. And this was like immediately flagged as something that was like very, you know, invasive of our privacy. And so, like, then there's like the corporation level, but then there's also just like personal cameras. Like, people have doorbell cameras in most houses, I would say, in Portland. And you also write that if your private cameras are registered with the City of Portland Camera Registry, basically law enforcement has access to that pretty easily. So will you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, great point on the ring. I should point out they, you know, as I understand it, Ring does now have facial recognition. Now Portland's banned that, but how that plays out locally is, you know, people might want to request records on that. You know, there's always, you know, more to the story there. With that said, oh, and also, I mean, of course, you know, these companies are always rolling out features and then kind of using plausible deniability. You know, for instance, Meta recently was caught having their you know, camera glasses, you know, things, which are most famously used by pickup artists, a very kind of esteemed group right there. But nevertheless, you know, these glasses were actually had the capabilities to do facial recognition. And then, you know, they got caught with that and they're like, okay, we're taking it out. But of course, you know, the way technology rolls, I don't think anybody would be surprised to see that, you know, Ring already does things like that. Anyhow, the city of Portland's camera registry, it's maybe not as sinister as some folks would kind of assume. It's not like a real-time live stream center. Like, you know, during protest movements, you can always see the Portland Police Bureau has kind of a big TV monitor of all the different live streamers. To kind of surveil protesters, you know, live streamers are, of course, and news organizations, ironically, are tools of surveillance. But this is a much different thing. This is basically a registry of all the cameras, you know, and I shouldn't say all of the cameras that you know, have chosen to participate. It's voluntary, and it basically allows businesses and other buildings to register their camera, its location, and so then if there's a crime, say, on the corner of, you know, Third and Burnside, and some business has agreed to be a part of that registry, the police can then go to them and request it. So it basically expedites the or increases the police's access and awareness of the extent of surveillance infrastructure or of surveillance cameras in Portland.
Will you tell me a little bit more about the PPB drone program that you mentioned in the article?
Yeah, so this was back in, I think it was 2023. So I talked to that researcher, Kate Kay, and she was going through some, you know, obscure meeting that nobody else was really at. And somebody at PPB was like, "Oh yeah, we're piloting a drone program," and she was like, "Whoa!" And so she looks into that, and basically, with extensive public records, she finds, and she, you know, she's been on OPB and EFF has stuff on this. So folks can find a little bit more info online, but basically Portland was following was piloting and now using a person following drone or a people tracking drone, and the usage was not only increasing dramatically, but also was really, you know, she actually mapped out where this happened, and this is largely in East Portland and other communities that are poorer, more policed. And have higher percentages of people of color. So folks I talked to basically said, like, these types of technologies allow increased criminalization, increased surveillance, increased policing. And where they're used, of course, you know, you find crime where you look for crime. You know, I'm sure if you went through the backpacks of kids at Grant Park, you'd probably find some contraband. But, you know, the police are not out there doing that. Instead, you know, there's things like you know, the drone program, following folks through East Portland.
So there was a case that you referenced already, where there's a woman who allegedly got an abortion, and then Texas law enforcement used a bunch of different cameras. You said like about 83,000 different cameras to try and track her down.
Yeah.
So will you tell me a little bit more about this and what it could mean for the future of our First Amendment?
Yeah, I mean, basically what folks I talked to said was like this infrastructure, it's created like really a blanket of surveillance that's even retroactive. And so, like, you know, things like that, you know, yesterday were completely normal are now increasingly being criminalized. For instance, like you know, the Intercept, I believe it was, and some other outlets recently, maybe it wasn't the Intercept, but recently there was reporting about the concept of a quote, anti-tech violent extremist. And so this is like a designation that counterterrorism officials and government have created for people who oppose technology. which I suppose is, 70% of people if you go off that Gallup poll, which really shows how kind of broad some of this is. Nevertheless, so they've created this designation. And then this designation, in turn, allows surveillance. And so you can really see, like, first you create the kind of legal infrastructure to criminalize something. And then once that's created, you can really surveil them and find a crime. And of course, if you can't find a crime, you can always redefine something to be a crime. And so we've seen a fair amount of that, abortion being like the classic example where this person was really extensively surveilled. So, I mean, and there's kind of a lot of cases of abuse. I believe it's called the Institute for Justice recently released a report following some Washington Post reporting and others showing that, flock cameras and license plate readers have been used pretty extensively by police. Just in examples, they've been caught to stalk former partners and kind of a variety of other things. There's also been some like really weird cases where kind of there's been unauthorized access to cameras and adults have used that to create what really strongly resembles like child sexual abuse material. It's a real... it's kind of the Wild West with a lot of this stuff right now. We only know what we know, and I think a lot of folks suspect it's the tip of the iceberg.
There's a lot there. You also mentioned that DFLOC, which has a couple of resources that we haven't mentioned yet, which has like a map of like where the flock cameras are in Portland and elsewhere, is also putting on sort of like a national week of action and training. What does that entail?
Yeah, so I found like kind of two different strains of resistance. There's kind of the above ground front, which is folks like DFLOC, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and things like that. And they're basically encouraging folks to get involved in the political and legal process. So fighting these things in the courts, in city council meetings, that's really what DFLOC is about. That week, I should say, ends, this Saturday, the 22nd. So it's currently ongoing. And then obviously there's the other strain, which again, I want to repeat, Schroots does not endorse criminal activity or property destruction or anything else like that. But there's kind of that other kind of section where people feel that those kind of above ground kind of levers, they're tugging them and nothing's happening. And so then that's kind of also ongoing. For instance, Camover has been July and August. And so there's still kind of, you can still see folks posting dispatches on Rose City Counter Info. And so you kind of have these two different strains of opposition to these technologies happening at once. So, yeah.
Thanks. Anything else?
Folks should know that, again, property destruction is, criminal mischief. And that can even be a felony, depending on how much damage an individual is convicted of doing. And so folks should know that, and again, Schroots does not endorse property damage or destruction. This is simply a story about, the increasing prevalence of this technology and then kind of highlighting the ways some people are fighting it, both through legal and through criminal and illegal methods.
How can folks get their hands on a copy of this article in Street Roots?
Yeah, great question. So, of course, you can always find it online at streetroots.org. And you can also find us on, your social media of choice, Instagram. You can find us in the Panopticon, whether that's Instagram or, Blue Sky or whatever else. But for people who like physical media, you can also find us being sold by vendors. So you can pick up a copy of Street Roots from a vendor. And if you're curious where they are, check out streetroots.org/vendors and then scroll a few scrolls on down and you will see a map where vendors are and when they are. It's $1, not a bad purchase. Although, of course, people are free to tip much more. And I should say vendors do accept Venmo, for your convenience. So, check it out.
On X-Ray FM, you're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis.